firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Let's keep in step with God and do something that is alive and moving. That's the inspiration our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has for us on this broadcast of Through the Bible. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, we continue our five-year journey through God's Word with a stop in 1 Chronicles, chapters 22 and 23, as we continue our survey of David's life from God's point of view. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus while I share a few letters from our fellow passengers. First, we hear from Martina in Ocala, Florida. I love Through the Bible's radio and online ministry. I listen every day. I joined the Bible bus in 2014, April. I thank God for your program every day and ask him to bless your ministry. McGee makes each lesson so exciting and interesting, even some of the books in the Old Testament, like Numbers, that I didn't understand very well and thought were boring, have come alive because of McGee's insight and wisdom. Everything Dr. McGee taught so long ago is amazingly still relevant today. Thank you all for helping me grow in God's grace and truth. I feel so encouraged as I study the Bible along with my fellow passengers on the Bible bus. I'm also thrilled to announce that after 2 years of no income and health issues, I'm now able to give a small monthly donation to TTB. May Jesus continue to bless your wonderful ministry as you continue to take his whole word to the whole world. Well, thanks for your email, Martina. We're so grateful for your prayers and your financial support to keep the Bible bus going in your neighborhood and in more than 120 languages and dialects around the world. And if God's calling you to join Martina and other faithful friends of Through the Bible in maybe providing gas or a new set of tires for the Bible bus, as we like to say, then visit our website at ttb.org/give, or you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Next, we've got an email that we received from Doug in Clarkville, Pennsylvania. Since 2008, I've held a small home Bible study in my basement. Together, we're going through Dr. McGee's five-year study. It's been a tremendous blessing to me and to others who come. It was Dr. McGee's teaching which prompted me to begin reading my Bible as a matter of habit. I now read through the entire Bible once each year. In 2016, I completed my eighth consecutive reading of the entire Bible, and I'm currently continuing with my 2017 reading. Well, thanks, Doug. May God bless you and your group as you study his word together. And thanks for the challenge to all of us to read through our Bibles every year. And then finally, we hear from Ricky in Romney, West Virginia. Thank you for your program. I listen to your app on my phone and also on XM's Family Talk. I'm a truck driver who is glad to be able to learn about God and the Bible while I'm riding down the road. Thank you again for growing my faith through walking through the word with you. Well, it's great to hear from you, Ricky. Thanks for joining us on the Bible bus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us more about you and your work in our lives. Open our eyes and our hearts to the plans that you have for each one of us. Help us to listen to your plans and to be faithful to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back today to the 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles, and I'm putting in at verse 10 today. Now, when we began this 22nd chapter, I indicated last time that we were in the last division that we have of 1 Chronicles. We have here David's preparation and organization for building the temple, and that's from chapter 22 through chapter 29, the remainder of this book. Now, all of this is relative to David's preparation for building the temple. He did not build it. He's talking in this chapter to his son Solomon, and he explains two things. One thing is that God won't let him build it, that he's a bloody man, but that his son Solomon, a man of peace, will build the temple, but that he has gotten together all the material. He's got the place for it, and he's already organized the building of it. His friend Hiram, king of Tyre, will furnish the stone. And this is something that I think you need to know. All the way now from chapter 22 through chapter 29, we have the organization, the gathering of materials, and the enthusiasm of David for building the temple, God would not let him build it. That's one thing. David giving all of his attention to this very important matter. Now, the second thing is, I must repeat it again, 1 Chronicles gives us God's viewpoint. Now, God's viewpoint is that the temple is the most important project that David had in mind. Now, David had a housing project. We saw that. He built many houses in Jerusalem. He had urban development. He began all that. But that was not the important thing. The important thing was the building of the temple. Why? My friend, until a man or a people are right with Almighty God, may I say that all of these subsidiary subjects, they must sink into insignificance until that first is established. Now, when that is established, then urban development is important. Then a poverty program is very much in order. David had a poverty program. When he brought the ark up, why, I tell you, he had a line up of folk that were there. They all had food stamps, and they were there in line. And David was handing out the groceries. Why? Well, because the spiritual part has been settled. Now today, there is corruption in governments moving into urban development, corruption in the poverty program. We hear of corruption today in government. And the news seems to think that if you put the emphasis on these material things, you've solved the problems of the world. My friend, man is far from solving the problems of the world because he hasn't solved the major problem, and the major problem is a relationship with God, and that temple speaks of that relationship with God. It speaks also of that which is spiritual. From God's viewpoint, that was important, and in this book that gives us God's viewpoint, it's not what we had back in 1 and 2 Kings. It wasn't continual warfare and intrigue and petty things. Now it's the high and lofty business of establishing a right relationship with God. And actually, when you begin to look back at history, it's quite interesting. We think today of Great Britain, the nation that for many years ruled the world. The saying was that the sun never set on the British Empire. Control more of the world than probably any other nation ever has. Tremendous influence that Great Britain had. Oh, you can criticize them. I recognize that. They were not any more perfect than we are. But they, at one time, ruled the world. And when you begin, though, to look back at history, it wasn't really what took place in 10 Downing Street. It actually wasn't what really took place in Parliament. It wasn't what took place under old Big Ben over there, that great clock. You know, probably the most important thing was when a young fellow by the name of John Wesley went upstairs down at Aldersgate. Thank God for that, because we're still reaping benefits from that. And then right down the street from there, not very far, there is the place where Wesley began his preaching. There's a graveyard there. They put him out. The organized church did, the state church. He went out and stood on a tombstone, started preaching, moved into the fields. And there came a spiritual movement that even Lloyd George said that John Wesley is the greatest Englishman that ever lived, did more for the British Empire. But I want to tell you that that day, the television program and the radio programs and the newspapers and the magazines didn't think it was very important, that young man out there preaching on a tombstone, but he saved Great Britain. That is, he was God's instrument for saving Great Britain from a revolution and enabled them to begin a movement that brought civilization throughout the world. And you can belittle a colonial policy all you want to, and Great Britain bogged down and was as wrong as we've ever been. But the important thing is, there was a movement that sent missionaries throughout the world, and it brought a civilizing and Christian influence throughout the world. And my friend, I think the most prejudiced person in the world can look back and say those days were better than these days, and that this godless age in which we're living is not getting anywhere. May I say to you, you want God's viewpoint? God says, when David began to prepare to build that temple, that was all important to me. That's more important than battles he fought, more important than the wars he fought. In fact, it's more important than anything that David ever did. We're now considering that. Now David's talking to his son, Solomon. I don't think he was very much interested in having Solomon become king. He was a pennywise anyway. Lord Jesus said, when you went out to see John the Baptist, what'd you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? No, you saw a wind shaking reeds. What'd you go out to see? Man with soft clothing? No, he's rugged. Camel's hair, rugged individual. May I say to you, the Lord Jesus said those with soft clothing, the pantywaists, are in king's palaces. Solomon was brought up there. He's brought up in the court of the women. One of the reasons Solomon put around him so many women, he's accustomed to that. He wasn't accustomed to out yonder in the rugged terrain of that land, defending himself as his father David was. And I'm not carrying any sort of excuse for David, because he wasn't a very good father. But believe me, David and Solomon were far apart, and the explanation is found, of course, in their background. And so David now is talking to his son Solomon. He says, you're going to build a temple. Oh, I want to encourage you and get you enthusiastic about it, because it was in my heart, but God wouldn't let me because I'm a bloody man. May I say to you, don't come by and say, oh, David was a man after God's own heart and he got by with anything. He wasn't enabled to do the thing he wanted to do above everything on top side of this earth. That was build God a temple, and God wouldn't let him. My friend, there's been many a man today because of sin in his life, and God has never let him reach the goal he wanted to reach. Sin drags us all down. It dragged David down. Listen to him. Verse 10, he shall build an house for my name. He's speaking of Solomon. He shall be my son, I'll be his father, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And David says to Solomon, this is what God told me, you'd be his son, and that you would build a temple, and you'd establish your throne, for it's my throne. He'll establish it forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. My house. David was encouraging this boy, and he knew he needed encouraging. After all, he had soft clothing. He'd been brought up in the court of the women, and he's not a very aggressive fella. Solomon reaped the benefits of the reign of David. It can be said truly of him as the Lord Jesus said, other men have labored. We've entered in to their labors. Solomon entered into the labors of another, and that was his father David. Now he says, listen to him here. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. And he's urging his son to follow along in his ways. That is God's ways, and not David's ways. I think David began to detect, I'm sure Bathsheba had detected in Solomon some of the traits of his father David. One of the traits was his weakness, probably in two different directions. One was in the direction of women, by the way. And if you want to find out the advice she gave to Solomon, here's the advice of David to Solomon. But if you want the advice of his mother, read the last chapter of Proverbs. And that's the advice of Bathsheba to her son Solomon. Now notice, then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. He knew this boy would get discouraged. He knew that he would be a weakling. And he's now telling him, be a man. That was the important thing. Now, verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it's in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. David said to him, you won't need to stint in building this temple. You won't have to cut corners. There's no shortage of material. And he said, in the days of my trouble, in the days that I have been king here, I've attempted to build up this kingdom. And in all that trouble, I was gathering material all the time for the temple. Don't you see, friends, that God had taken note of that? And God had rewarded David along that line, and that actually he is a man after God's own heart. God wanted this. He wanted the spiritual part emphasized, and David wanted that above everything else. And by the way, what is really the goal of your life? What is the ambition that you have? We have a generation of young people without any purpose or goal in life whatsoever. Well, I think it's true. They've been brought up in homes of affluence and no Christian direction. No pointing out yonder to something that is worthwhile, something that is glorious, something that is great. These young people haven't been pointed in that direction. They weren't pointed that direction in their home. And my friend, the school is not doing its job. Now, I may sound to you like a heretic and a real revolutionary. I don't think it would hurt to close up many of our schools today. I don't think they're doing young people a bit of good whatsoever until moral training and direction and discipline is given. And I say to you, what is the purpose of living today? The suicides among young people. And then when you see them, that have become this hippie type over the world today, wandering around aimlessly, your heart goes out to them because somebody's failed. I think Papa and Mama failed. I think the schools have failed. I think the churches failed. May I say to you, at least old David's given direction to the boy. You got a worthy goal. Build God a house. What is your ambition today? Well, let me give you something that's given to me early in life. The question is, what is the chief end of man? That's in the catechism. I used to know it all. Don't now, but I remember this one. It's a good one. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's worthwhile, friends. Oh, I wish today I could get you enthusiastic about not baseball or football or any kind of ball, but get you interested not in the things that are around us today. And frankly, I wish I could get you interested not even in church work. That may sound revolutionary also. I wish I could get you interested in Jesus Christ, His person. Say, He told me I'm going to be with Him forever. I tell you, and since He's God, apparently His way is going to prevail, not mine. He's got something glorious in view. I haven't, because I don't know what's out there, but I'm interested. This is something we ought to be able to say with Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, David's a man after God's own heart, because he had something high and noble and lofty in mind. Now, notice what he says here. Verse 15, he says, moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Seed range with Hiram. Take care of all of the building. Of the gold and silver and brass and iron, there's no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Get busy, young man. Here's a goal that's worthwhile. Now, verse 17, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you the inhabitants of the land into thine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Now, friends, whoever you are, wherever you are today, I don't care what you're doing, and I'm speaking to those that are Christians. You may have sunk down to a pretty low level in your living. Maybe that all you do in church work is gossip. Maybe all you do is find fault with the preacher. Maybe all you do is do nothing. That you're standing on the promises but sitting on the premises, as I heard this young country preacher say, and I thought it was pretty good. A lot of folk doing that. May I somehow or another today alert you? I like to stick a pin in and say to you today, oh, my friend, wake up, come alive, and move out toward Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you're doing. Tell him you want to go along with him, that you want to bring the spiritual into your life and make it important. Do something definite. Do something positive. Do something about it, friend. Don't just sit there. Just don't stand there. Do something right now. Have contact, a personal contact with Jesus Christ. And start going. Get busy. That's what David said to this boy Solomon. He really put a pen in him, let me tell you. Now chapter 23, David now makes Solomon king. So when David was old and full of days, somebody said, what would David die of? Well, he was full of days. That was his problem. That's a problem many of us have. He made Solomon his son king of Israel. Now, will you notice? He gathered together the Levites. He gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now, the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 30,000 and 8,000. Now, I think back in Numbers 4:48, we had, when they were numbered, when they came out of Egypt, there was 8,000. Now they're 38,000. And they've increased in number. God said they would multiply in spite of the judgment. Now we're told, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges, and moreover 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praise the Lord with instruments, which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Just think of that. David put a great emphasis on music. And you have them divided here into these three parts. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. They were the ones that brought up the tabernacle. Now they're given a new assignment by David in the temple. And from here on, they serve by courses. Now you have here the family of the Gershonites, the family of the Kohathites. They had carried the articles of furniture, and the sons of Merari, and they carried the heavy stuff through the wilderness, you remember. And all of them are listed here, and I'm not going into that. Now you'll notice, verse 26, and also under the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. Now, that which they were assigned at the beginning to carry the tabernacle through the wilderness, that's over with. And now they're going to have a new business. They're going to have a new assignment. And I wish today there's something we could learn. There are many very fine Christian organizations God raised up, and they served a purpose. Then God was through with them. And when God's through with a thing, he's through with it, friends. And yet there are people that try to preserve the old organization. And some of them are as dead as a dodo bird. They do not serve any purpose whatsoever. And it's time to get something new going. God moves out in a new way. And you have him here saying to the Levites, we're not going to be trotting around the wilderness anymore. We now have a temple, and your service is going to be different. Oh, to be doing something for God that is alive and moving. We need that today, friends. We're going to pick up at chapter 24 next time.
I'm sure Dr. McGee would be surprised at how alive this ministry is today. You know, we've added almost 100 languages since his passing. And we can't deny that God is surely moving as we continue the mission of reaching the whole world with his whole word. If you'd like to join us as we travel the world on our knees praying for God's will to be done through his word, we'd love to have you as a member of our world prayer team. Find out more about this amazing group of committed prayer warriors and sign up for the journey when you visit ttb.org/pray. And if we can help you find a resource to deepen your own study of God's word, then call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us tomorrow for more great teaching from Dr. McGee here on Through the Bible.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.